If old MacDonald was real and actually had a farm, she'd talk about it. This is the Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Just like you, Dr. Sean Conley, our University Extension soybean specialist, and a lot of the students, the graduate students that he works with, facing some of the same challenges Wisconsin farmers are. Let's talk a little bit about those challenges and how we're going to address it this year. It's all brought to you courtesy of our Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board on this week's Checkoff Chat. So, Sean, let's talk a little bit about some of the repeat challenges that Wisconsin soybean growers are seeing. We're looking at a historic number of acres Wisconsin farmers will plant as soybeans, some in some fields maybe for the first time. Let's go to some of the problems we had last year, and I'm going to start with a perpetual problem, and that's white mold. How are we doing as far as hybrid development or practices that are helping us to mitigate those white mold problems?
Yeah, that's a good question, Pam, and I know the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board has been focusing research efforts for decades on this, and over the last few years, you've actually made some pretty significant and substantial additions and changes and updates to help to improve this. And the first one would be genetics. So Dr. Damon Smith has recently released a variety that is resistant to white mold. It is actually released through WARF, which is a Wisconsin foundation, and able to have that germplasm available to growers. One of the challenges with it, it's a non-GMO variety, and the yield potential isn't, you know, at that maximum yield potential that you would see with some of the elite genetics coming from industry. However, what we've been able to do is release that, and I do know some of industry has purchased or licensed some of that to backcross that resistance into their elite trait, so hopefully we'll see that in a GMO trait. But I would say in 2018, for growers that are looking at fields that have severe infestations, that variety will be available for sale in 2018. So that's a really cool and update for farmers and be able to, you know, have a variety that's been grown and bred here for Wisconsin growers by the UW-Madison.
Well, and this year, the availability of those white mold resistant varieties through commercial channels, how do we think that's doing as far as availability, Sean? Because again, we're talking about literally 195,000 acres more soybeans in Wisconsin alone this year than last year. Across the nation, 900,000 more acres per state. Those traits, like you said, it's only resistance. It's not a bulletproof situation. Are we going to have enough?
Well, if you look across the, you know, the germplasm is available to growers right now commercially. Most of it is comes in the form of tolerance, and that tolerance is usually in the framework that it's avoidance. And by that, I mean it's basically how flowering times up with when those apothecia or those spores are present for infection. So most of the varieties that you see now that are labeled as tolerant or, you know, on their rating scale, however it may be, 1 to 7 or 1 to 9, you know, or they're 6, 7, 8 or a 1, 2, 3, those are basically now basically just on an avoidance. So again, there's really not any true resistance really out there for genetic, you know, if the growers can plant. But again, I think that gives the growers some opportunity. But what I would encourage growers, if they've invested in equipment or even if they haven't, you know, they've been able to change the seeding rate on the fly, if you get into an area where you know you've had white mold issues in the past, because white mold tends to be a disease of high yield environments, just drop 120,000 seeds per acre in that area and just move on. What we've seen with a lot of our on-farm research, soon as we see that population drop through using a variable rate seeding technique, we've seen white mold basically disappear. So that would be one way that I would encourage growers. Instead of dropping 160 or 170 in those white mold areas, drop 130 to 120. Your yield potential is not going to decrease, and the risk of getting white mold would be much less. So that would be one way, in lieu of getting resistance, that I would encourage growers to manage it. And then back that up with a foliar fungicide if needed.
See, that's the kind of stuff you'd never think. That's completely flies against what you would expect, but it makes sense. Now, the other thing I want growers to get real proactive on, Sean, is what's happening with sudden disease syndrome, or sudden death syndrome, rather, SDS, and then also weeds are getting to be just a rascal no matter what variety you drop.
So one of the challenges growers have in Wisconsin is we have a lot of pathogens that mimic SDS, because we still have brown stem rot. Brown stem rot looks a lot like SDS. Stem canker can look like SDS. Actually, white mold, if you're not paying attention, can have a similar symptomology for a few days. So again, the first and most important thing to do is make sure you actually know what your problem is out there. And then once you have that idea that you know you have SDS and you're going into a field with SDS, basically you have a couple different choices to do in terms of management. Number one, focus on the genetics. There are some really good tolerant varieties out there that are available in maturity groups that growers in Wisconsin can plant. And secondly, we've had some really good luck with the seed treatment iLevo targeted towards SDS. We've had really good luck the last few years, not just here in Wisconsin, but across the Midwest. Now, granted, that is an additional $10 to $15 a unit upcharge. So that's not something to be taken lightly given, you know, what the cost of production is and the and where we're at. But I can almost guarantee you, and based on our probability of return on investment, is well over 95% that if you have a history of SDS and you use that combination of planting early, using a resistant or a highly tolerant variety, and tagging it on with iLevo, you're going to get your money back. So that would be how I would manage the SDS complex on my farm if I was farming.
And then the weeds. We're not alone in this battle, but more and more resistance that we're coming up against, and just have to be so careful on the labels and what some plant may tolerate.
So there's a couple ways of looking at this one, Pam. Let's first start out with, do I have a problem? And I think one of the challenges growers do is that we're always looking at verification. The easiest way to verify is to take a plant, send a leaf in to the University of Illinois and get tested. It's a PCR, basically, is a test. Basically, it's looking for the gene that confers resistance. Pretty simple and straightforward. However, if you don't want to spend that money because it's costly, I'll give you a hint. If you spray it twice with a full rate of glyphosate and you didn't kill it, it's probably resistant. So just go under it and into that resource. Then you can look at using a multiple mode of action pre-emergence herbicide. Look at some of the other traits. Look at Liberty Link. There's a lot of good Liberty Link beans out there across many different company profiles to put out there. And if growers are interested, you know, we do have the ability to try some of the Xtend varieties as well. So again, there are some options and availability out there. But again, just to understand, and I want to caution growers, I know you guys want to cut back because of the cost of production. Do not cut your pre-emergence herbicide on soybeans, because you all are going to be cutting your seeding rate back, which means the canopy is going to be slow to close. Water hemp basically germinates for 2.5 months in Wisconsin. So you're going to be fighting that critter all season long. Just don't cut it out, because you're going to pay for it in the long run.
You know what it's going to look like by the time that we get to July and August. So like he said, don't get cheap on it now. Dr. Sean Conley, University Extension soybean specialist, with a couple of those things that you know you were thinking about last year when you were riding through the combine. Remember, pull those management skills and that field history forward with us in 2017 and make sure you're using all the tools available to be proactive, battling things like white mold, sudden death syndrome, and as he said, those elusive resistant weeds. The message, the information, and the research all brought to you courtesy of your Wisconsin soybean checkoff dollars. This checkoff chat featuring Dr. Sean Conley, University Extension soybean specialist. Remember his website, coolbean.info, and also find more information on what's happening with your checkoff dollars at badgerbean.com. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke.
This is the Farm Report with Pam Yonke.